ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a pole. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Why Fish Radio. I am your host, Brad, and guess what? I'm kind of solo again tonight, but not to worry. I have a special friend and co-host tonight. Our good friend Kent Hollins from Trophy Cat Adventures is joining me tonight just to kind of follow up on his guiding service, and our winner was out with him, and just kind of whatever in the Red River of the North here at Grand Forks. Also tonight, we are putting in an interview that I got with Lynn Schlater from the North Dakota Game and Fish. You may remember we had Lynn on with us here a couple weeks back talking about aquatic nuisance species. And Lynn and I got together the other day again to talk about carp, and in particular, carp getting into Devil's Lake, which is basically aquatic nuisance-free lake at this point. And, you know, he's a little concerned about it, and frankly, so am I, because I do spend a lot of time on Devil's Lake, as you know. Anyway, don't forget, Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba. The fish are really feeding right now. The 30 pounds, 40 pounds possibly now, that fall run is happening as we speak, so don't forget to get up there. And for you walleye guys that listen, the greenbacks are starting to show up, and here in the next 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to have a good opportunity for a green walleye. And let me tell you, they get up to that 13, 14, even 15-pound range. So it's worth checking them out. Check them out on the net, catsonthered.net. But for this week's show, like I said, I've got our old friend Kent Hollins from Trophy Cat Adventures. Kent, welcome back to Why Fish Radio. And how's life on the river these days?
Life is great. Fishing has been super this year. Had a slow period with the high water, but this fall the fish are just hitting and it's been excellent. Every night you can put a fish in the boat easily over 10 pounds, no problem.
I've experienced that myself with the old night fishing last week. Brad and I were out, little spur of the moment night fishing. 9 fish, 7 over 15 pounds with 2 of those over 20, so the red is on fire. Hopefully we're going to hit it this weekend. Anyway, Kent, you started your guide service this year. I know we had some high water periods, and all of us who like the Red River, you know, that always hurts. But how's the guiding going? How's the business? And, you know, what do you see for Trophy Cat Adventures here in the near future?
Well, I'm hoping to get going really good here this fall. I'm starting to book a lot of my dates here because of the fish. They're cooperating really well. It was slow with that high water, but I'm starting to book up my fall dates here now, and we're putting people on fish. The person that won the free trip here was out last week. We put 13 in the boat, all over 12 pounds, biggest just being over 20.
Heck of a day. That winner, by the way, as we told you all, was Darren Appert. We're still hoping to get some pictures of that trip and get them on the site for you all to see. Also, when we get our new phone system hooked up, which I don't know when that's going to be right at the moment, I would like to get Darren on here and just hear, because I understand, I think that was his first trip, wasn't it, Ken?
He's fished cats before, but that's his first real trip for fishing on the Red River like that.
Well, I think another addict was born, I hope. Kent, I know you've done a lot of fishing in the river, and you know something else you've done this year is, and I know you've done it before, is the Big Cat's Incredible out of East Grand Forks, and you do something a little different than a lot of the guys for Cat's Incredible. You actually take your son out as your partner. How'd you guys do in Cat's Incredible this year?
We ended up 16th. We were sitting pretty good after the first day. Second day was a little slow. We caught 2 fish right away, a 12-pounder and then a one probably about a pound and a half. But the way the bite was, we kept it. We went the rest of the day looking shallow, deep, snags, runs, holes, you name it. We looked for the last fish. And I threw some stuff into about a foot of water behind a tree. I turned to get some cut bait. I turned around and looked at my 11-year-old son. He's going, Dad, help me. I got one. And he pulled in an 11-pounder that moved us up in the standings quite a bit.
Well, that's amazing. And the real amazing part is that you take your kid with you rather than go get another professional cat fisherman as your partner. And obviously that ups the odds. But hey, 16th, awesome, awesome move. Now, something else that shows how good this guy is I understand you had some boat trouble, but you overcame it and still got 16th.
Well, my motor wasn't working well the first day, and I could just get trolling speed out of it. I had two spots picked out the first day where I wanted to fish, and the boat determined where I was going to start. And I pulled into where I was my second spot picked for the day, and got set up, turned around, looked at my son, and he was crying, looking at me, saying, "What are we going to do now, Dad?" I looked at him, I said, "We're going to fish." Within 10 minutes, we had a 10-pounder in the boat, and about 5 minutes after that, we put an 18-pounder in the boat. He looked at me, goes, "Do we got a chance, Dad?"
Well, as we know, you did have a chance, and this is a true cat guy if he can make do with that, not to mention it. So somebody was looking down on him to get him to actually fall in one of his favorite spots with a bad motor. So that's making lemonade with rotten lemons, I guess you could call it. But anyway, congratulations to you there, Kent. Anything else in the fishing world worth mentioning to us here at Why Fish?
Well, with the cats biting the way they are, we're hoping the river will stabilize. The walleye should be moving in below the North Dam here before too long. And we're just looking forward to getting the other boat ramps going and getting the river more accessible.
Well, that's another issue I hadn't thought of in a while. We got the two new boat ramps that we worked on for all these years with city officials and residents and all kinds of people. And those should be getting up. Do you think that's going to help increase the traffic on the river and make people more aware or use the river more?
We're hoping it'll make the river more accessible. There's no doubt about that, but we're looking at it. It can divide the boat traffic up more. You won't have a congestion of boats all in one spot. They can divide and pick out which ramp they want to go out of and get on the river quicker and get off it faster if they need to be.
Well, as we all know, and we preach it here pretty much every week, is we're living right with a world-class fishery right in our town. And, you know, good access is the key to a good fishery. Kent, if people want to get a hold of you, I know we still got a couple of good weeks of catting. How do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on my website. It's trophycatadventures.com. My phone numbers are listed on there. My email address is listed on there. Just give me a call and we'll see if we can work something out.
And for all of you who frequent whyfish.com, to get the shows, just head over to our partners page. Kent is on there. Just click the link and it'll send you right over to his website. Anyway, moving on to the next thing, we're going to play this little interview that I got with Lynn Schlater of Game and Fish. I know some of you guys see these ANS officials talking here and everybody saying how bad this is, and you know, it's not your problem. Well, guess what, folks? It is your problem. I'm going to preach that. Brad's going to preach that. If Kent comes back, he's going to preach that, and I hope Lynn is hitting something here, because this is important for all of us, no matter what state you live in, anywhere in the world. You got to pay attention to this, because we are living the good old days right now, and this could ruin it very, very soon. So anyway, here's the interview from Lynn Schlater of North Dakota Game and Fish. I hope you enjoy it. Once again, I'm joined by North Dakota Game and Fish special biologist Lynn Schlater to visit a little bit about carp in Devil's Lake, or the potential of carp in Devil's Lake, and further the discussion on the aquatic nuisance species in North Dakota. Lynn, welcome again to Why Fish Radio.
Thank you, Brad. It's a real pleasure to be here. And correct, we don't have carp in Devil's Lake. We don't need carp in Devil's Lake. Having carp in Devil's Lake would be, in best terms, a disaster. A huge disaster.
Now, Lynn, you're talking about bringing or carp getting into Devil's Lake, which is kind of, to most of our listeners, seeming like putting the cart before the horse. Can you explain how this could happen and what you're trying to head off here?
Very simple. We have a couple of areas in the watershed that have some stream connections to rivers, in this case, the Pembina River, that has carp in it. Well, water flows, fish swim upstream. It would be really simple for a small carp to swim from the Pembina River drainage up across the Continental Divide, end up in what's called the Edmore Coulee, and have basically a straight shot into Devil's Lake. And once they get into Devil's Lake, getting rid of them is impossible.
Okay, now let's go a step ahead. Say all this happens that you just got to, and carp get into Devil's Lake. Now, any good walleye fisherman knows that carp are a pain in the butt, and you just don't like them in the water. Red River guys, we see it. We've just learned to be used to it. Tell us what it's going to do to the lake if the carp population should end up there.
Simple. The walleye population is going to tip over and go down in numbers. I'll give you the reasons. I'll leave the math out, but I'll give the simple reasons. Carp get in. They love to eat invertebrates. Invertebrates, in this case, would be those scuds, those water shrimp that Devil's Lake is famous for. The carp will get in there. They'll feast on those. They will be using the same foods that the walleye like, the perch like, the northerns, the white bass, you name it. Scuds are important. The carp will eat these. That's less food for the desirable. Plus, when the carp feed, they roll up the bottom, they root, they disturb all of this invertebrate spawn, the production of them. They end up limiting their own food, the vertebrates. Their own food happens to be the same as walleye. Just a general idea, I think if my best guess is that if we get carp in, walleye numbers, the poundage of walleye in Devil's Lake will probably drop by half or better. Just think, that's one half less fish for you and I to go look for.
Now, that's just the number of fish, if I'm understanding you right. But another question is, will that affect the size of the fish or as it currently stands?
What you'll see is one or two big fish, that's it. An occasional small fish. Yes, the size structure will really look good because it'll be big fish, but far and very few. So you're going to fish all day for maybe a fish.
Well, Lynn, now you talk about the half of the fish population, in this case the walleyes and the perch and the northerns and everything, and there might be the bigger one. Should they get in there, how long do you think that it would take them to populate the lake to the point where we would see these as dramatic as what you just said?
Short time. And my guess is that once we see and find them, they're already well established. They're on their way to taking it over. I'm going to have to go back to a few of the lakes that I've worked on before where carp have been unintentionally introduced. We find them, and you can figure about 10 years later, the fishing went sour. It wasn't worth going to. Now, let's throw another quick in there. Fishing, okay, invertebrates, waterfowl and invertebrates. Carp will remove the vegetation that's in Devil's Lake. They will eat the invertebrates. The waterfowl production will go down. The duck hunting will fall too. I've seen cases where heavy infestations of carp, very few ducks produced on that lake, very few ducks hunted on that lake. We were fortunate. We went in and renovated that lake. It was small, only about four sections. Now, we renovated, got rid of the carp. The duck population 2 years later was just phenomenal. So, just to remember, Devil's Lake is about 140,000 surface acres. So, my gosh, think of that compared to renovating a small lake. It won't be done.
Well, you've talked about all that, and I tell you what, it's something that I never even thought of until the subject came up before we started this interview. Now, you talked about the ditches and the culverts coming over from the rivers on the watershed. Have you got any ideas in place of kind of how you're going to head this off?
First of all, we're going to get the information to find out what's going to happen. To any solution, there's going to be an impact to somebody, both positive and negative. So one of the things in areas that we know about, we're actually doing some surveys, topographical surveys. State Water Commission is doing them. We're going to find out what would happen if flows were changed, modified, or if what kind of structure would work best. We've looked at and thought about everything from a very simple berm, low maintenance, don't have to worry about in place, to something that is extremely high tech. Now, we all have high-tech things, and you know that, gosh, when they're great, they work well. But as soon as you get a bug in your computer, what's the next word you hear? And we can't say that on the radio.
Well, Lynn, I really thank you for stopping by to open our eyes to this subject, and I think it's something that we'll be talking about again. And as always, if you think of something else you want to talk about with this aquatic nuisance species stuff, because it's getting darn scary out there, feel free to give us a call here at Why Fish, and we'll get you back on the air.
Thank you for your time, and remember, all of us are the ones that are going to have to prevent this problem. We can't wait for somebody else to take action. It's up to us.
Once again, thank you to Lynn Schlater, special biologist for aquatic nuisance species with the North Dakota Game and Fish. I'm sure we'll be talking to him again. Well, we'd like to thank Lynn Schlater for joining us once again. And I think that's going to wrap us up. Brad is out on assignment tonight, so I thank Kent Hollins for joining me. Be sure to book your trip with him. That's Cats on the Red. I'm sorry, that's Stu McKay up in Lockport, Manitoba. My mistake. Call him up and book a trip, because they got some walleye fishing coming. They've got some big casts now. CatsOnTheRed.net. For Kent Hollins, go to TrophyCatAdventures.com. That's in Grand Forks. The river, it's the same river. It's about 3 hours apart by highway, but I tell you what, the fishing is totally different for the same fish. It's just something amazing. So that's going to do it. So as Brad would say, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.